Hello, and welcome to the McHale Report podcast. My name is John McHale, Group Editorial Director for Military Embedded Systems and host for today's event. Today's podcast is sponsored by Pentek, the leader in providing high-performance wideband and narrowband software-defined radio board, recorder, and system-level solutions, and as a leading innovator of RF SoC technologies. For more information about Pentek, you can go to www.pentek.com/go/podcast. Our guest today is David Gamba, Aerospace and Defense Core Vertical Markets Director at Xilinx. Today, David will discuss the FPGA trends in the aerospace and defense market and how his company's new RFOC family, most recently represented by the Xilinx Sync UltraScale Plus device, will help benefit military signal processing applications such as electronic warfare and radar. So let's get started. David, tell us a little bit about your role in Xilinx and what areas your group focuses on.
Hi, John. And thank you for your time today. My name is David Gamba, and I lead the Xilinx Aerospace and Defense Core Vertical Market Segment. The Aerospace and Defense team here at Xilinx focuses on ensuring that Xilinx is working on the right technologies and products for the aerospace defense market and assists our customers and key partners such as Pentek with system architecture designs and implementation recommendations. The key application segments that the Aerospace and Defense team focuses on here at Xilinx are radar, electronic warfare, military communications, space, avionics, missiles and munitions, and homeland security.
Thank you, David. Speaking of defense, the Department of Defense funding, as everyone knows, in the current Trump administration is increasing, especially in research and development, which is always good for this community. When I talk about the embedded electronics community, which traditionally means more opportunities for embedded electronic suppliers and military programs, whether they be upgrades or total new platforms. How is this increased market affecting Xilinx's outlook for the defense and aerospace world? And what specifically do you see your defense customers looking for from FPGAs today?
Well, John, we've definitely seen a very positive impact from the recent U.S. Department of Defense budget increases, as well as defense budget increases from our country's allies. These increases have led to increased funding for new technologies that are targeting some of our latest products, including Xilinx's RFSoC, as well as upgrades or extensions of existing products that are currently using some of the older Xilinx products. Now, for the defense customers, they're looking for several things from FPGAs, and there's a heavy emphasis on speeding up time to mission. Now, John, the threats to our country are evolving at a much faster pace than ever before, and the armed forces need to have the requisite agility to respond to these threats, creating a major need for faster time to deployments of defense solution. A key way to assist in accelerating time to mission is to create adaptable hardware platforms that can be customized for particular equipment, missions, or applications using software. The most adaptable device available for these types of applications is an FPGA. Also, the armed forces are looking to have intelligent products that can learn, like cognitive radar, smart munitions, cognitive radio, and they want to use machine learning to adapt to new or changing environments. Take a radar, for instance. If a radar is sitting next to a body of water and across from a mountain, the radar shouldn't have to relearn every 10 milliseconds that there's a body of water next to it or a mountain across the way. The radar can use machine learning to lock in the static information and then free up its valuable processing power to track things like targets or incoming threats much faster and more accurately.
You know, and that'll also take some of the burden off the warfighters who have to sit and watch these radar screens all day, if some of that filtering can be done by cognitive radar, cognitive EW, which, folks, is what the military likes to call artificial intelligence. They use the word cognitive quite often.
Absolutely.
And it's very exciting. And FPGAs can help because they can reprogram, you can kind of individualize them just like you would individualize a piece of software. Going forward and talking about artificial intelligence, that was a big buzz at an event I attended back in December called the Association of Old Crows Annual Convention, which focuses a lot on electronic warfare, and talking to a lot of signal processing providers, they were talking a lot about how artificial intelligence and cognitive radio, cognitive radar, and cognitive EW can help the decision makers in the battlefield. And the other thing they were talking about was what you guys are doing, and with your that you're bringing to the military market something called the RFSoC, which will enable improvements in signal processing applications like radar and EW. And they were talking, what technically is the RFSOC, or the what you call the Zinc Ultrascale Plus? What will that be doing to enable more integration, per se, at the board level and any other particular things that the previous FPGAs haven't done, and why it's so well-suited for this market?
Sure. So the FPGA has been termed the ultimate adaptable integration device because we have integrated blocks like processors, memories, DSP blocks, transceivers, PLLs, and now, you know, at least for Xilinx, high-speed DACs and ADCs. This is why we call these devices RFSOCs, because we're eliminating the need for many of external devices by integrating them all into a single device, into the FPGA RFSOC. What this enables clearly is higher levels of integration of features and functionality in the same board space. So if you have a board, now you can do much more on that board. Or alternatively, you could shrink these boards into smaller form factors because you don't need as many external components anymore. And this is very valuable for systems like radar, where you can take these modules and stamp them and repeat and create a very highly adaptable radar system to be used in multiple different applications. The key with the RFSOC product is the integration and then the adaptability, so that you could take these small form factor components and use them as a standardized platform for multiple applications that, as we mentioned earlier, can be quickly customized in software for the specific warfighter's needs.
Thanks, David. Another thing I've heard, we talk to a lot of our military designers and integrators, whether they're at the prime contractor level or the supplier level, signal processing board level, is, aside from obsolescence, obviously that's a big issue with military, who are military technologies and platforms that embrace off-the-shelf equipment. But thermal management has become a huge challenge, especially with reduced power requirements and in the small spaces that many military applications have, whether it's radar, electronic warfare, or the pods themselves that are unmanned systems applications, is managing these thermals. What is Xilinx doing with their RFOC to kind of enable more efficient thermal management? And do you find any trade-offs with performance when you have to factor that in?
Yes. So what's interesting, by integrating these gigasample per second ADCs and DACs onto the same monolithic die as the programmable logic and the processors and transceivers, the overall device actually consumes much less power than the individual discrete devices would that would perform the same functions. And this also eliminates potential thermal hotspots that may be present when using discrete devices. Let me give you an example, John. So if you integrate a 2 gigasample per second ADC on the Xilinx RFSOC device and use it as part of the Xilinx monolithic device, this actually saves up to 80% of the power per channel versus using that external discrete device. And if you integrate a 6 gigasample per second DAC on the Xilinx RFSOC, this saves up to about 2/3 of the power per channel. And it leads to an overall 50 to 70% power reduction due to the integration. Now, not only does this lead to lower power, but it also leads to better thermal management performance, because the thermal benefits come from there's less heat that is being needed to be dissipated on this die area. And the fact that these blocks are contained on a single larger monolithic die, this actually enhances the thermal capabilities to dissipate the heat, versus just having discrete components, which can have those hotspots that we talked about. What's interesting about the performance, John, is that as far as the performance trade-offs goes, there's actually an improvement in performance due to the lower latency enabled by having these blocks integrated monolithically on the die. So we actually don't see any decrease in performance. We actually see enhanced performance with our RFSOC devices.
Thanks, David. You mentioned the reduced power percentage over the – was that over a previous device, the previous Xilinx family? You've reduced the power consumption.
These are actually – yeah, these are actually over external DACs and ADCs, which would come from the DAC and ADC vendors. So if you use discrete devices, they have their associated power consumption, and then they have to power up their IOs, likely over a JESD 204B or 204C interface, to connect to the FPGA. This actually burns additional power trying to communicate between the external DAC and ADC and the FPGA device. having it monolithically on the silicon, now you just actually have die interconnects, which consume much less power.
Okay, thanks for clarifying that. Yeah, the other big thing I've seen it for the last 10 years, especially since the budget cuts, is not necessarily a push toward towards using COTS necessarily, but open architectures and commonality, so that a lot of reuse and things across multiple architectures. And you kind of touched on this in a previous answer, but how, when you talked about the different components that you can use to build things, but how will the RFSoC product enable more modularity in military systems? As I've heard from a lot of the folks I talked to at AOC, they were excited to hear about that because that was a big problem they have. Can that solve modularity challenges that they might face?
Yes, it can, John. I mean, as we talked about before, customers are looking to use these flexible modular blocks to create adaptable form factors that can be used in multiple different applications. For a radar, a typical building block would be a 2x2 transmit and receive channel module. Now, before the RFSoC, the way these modules were designed was you use a discrete FPGA and external DACs and ADCs for those transmit and receive functions. And this didn't lend itself to the smallest form factor, the lowest size, weight, power, and cost, the SWaP-C, that the defense systems now require. And I think that's why you see that strong interest you talked about for RFSoC at the Association of Old Crows, because now with the RFSoC from Xilinx, the transmit and receive functions to build these converged radar systems are actually integrated on the die, and this creates a very small form factor device with the best adaptability and ultra-low latency for the defense needs. Again, SWaP-C is what it's all about in a lot of these defense systems, and this integration really helps address those SWaP-C requirements. You could take this module and use its flexibility to be used in multiple different radar applications, whether it's things for terrestrial, whether it's for weather, whether it's up in aircraft. That same module can be customized in software to address all these different applications. We also have third-party partners like Pentek who are building boards and modules with our RFSoC devices to enable our customers access to immediately deploy these adaptable platforms today.
Talk about making things easier to use and modularity in designing systems. I have one little follow-up. With the RFSoC devices, are you releasing any more tools, or what would your anything being released with it, or are you kind of leveraging old Xilinx tools to help people program the FPGAs a little easier? Not everyone has VHDL jocks in-house, so I'm curious, what are Xilinx tools for solving that problem?
Right, so we still offer our traditional tools for the traditional VHDL Verilog designers, can definitely go off and program our devices using those. But we're also offering higher level synthesis tools that can make it easier for non-traditional Xilinx users to program our devices. I will say for the RFSoC, both tool sets can be used to program the FPGA, and so there's no limitation whether you have traditional FPGA designers or some new designers from accessing and be able to program this technology. For the RF, that's still going to require the companies or customers' RF experts to look at that and evaluate that and figure out the best needs. But for the programmable logic side, we are offering additional flexibility today than we did previously.
All right. Well, thank you for internet full follow-up there. I want to switch domains on you a little bit. We're talking about radar and electronic warfare, and that can be on the air and the ground at sea. But I've also been covering the space electronics market for a long time, and which is another key, although much smaller, market within the military world. And I used to see Xilinx at some of these events and over the years. And what are your space customers currently looking for from their components that might differ from what you see in the other applications we've talked about? Anything unique there?
Sure, John. Actually, there's a lot of commonality in that our space customers are looking to put as much of our on-orbit reconfigurable technology into space as they can. So what we do to help facilitate this is we actually offer space-grade devices that have proven flight heritage from multiple space programs. Xilinx has radiation testing performed on our space-grade devices, so our customers will know how our features will perform in the heavy ion environment of space, and also what performance and capabilities to expect when flying our space devices. So it's definitely a different environment up there. Devices will behave differently, and what customers are looking for us is to try to help describe how our devices will perform in those environments so they're not surprised.
Thanks, David. You know, we talked a little bit earlier about how great the defense budget's looking for radar, electronic warfare applications, and folks who supply to them. Do you think the space market's faring in a similar way to that part of the defense, within the defense, I'm sorry, the defense space market is faring similar to the rest of the defense market, or it's always going to be a little slower, maybe a little more push to the right, funding push down to the road, but how do you see it comparing to the overall, from a Xilinx standpoint?
John, from my perspective, it's actually outgrowing the overall space defense market. Yes, it is.
I did not expect that answer.
Yes. So Xilinx is doing quite well in space, and we actually had a record year of sales to our space customers in our last fiscal year. And we continue to expect continued growth in this market. And what's interesting is we're even starting to see some non-traditional customers evaluating our space-grade devices for their use. All this is leading up to we're very excited about the space market, and we're going to continue to support this market for years to come.
What's driving that, do you think? I just didn't expect that answer. What's driving it? Is it more the kind of the launch of the, you know, the nanosats and the multisat, the satellite constellations and stuff that are going up there, kind of the larger push in the commercial world, or is that just in the defense market?
It's the nanosats that are being, the CubeSats that are being launched is driving that, so those are higher volumes. Also, shorter duration missions, and so that's driving additional volumes as well. And non-defense customers, as I'm sure you read, I can't mention the customers' names, but I'm sure as you read online or in publications, there's some companies getting into the space market that weren't there 5 years ago, and some of the volumes they're looking to drive are quite significant.
Yeah, and that's, and then if you look at, well, I guess it'll be a few years down the road when the folks like the like Amazon's push to get into space and such, the commercial space market taking it away from NASA too. I think NASA's budget's going to stay flat as it is for a few more years. So, but that's pretty interesting stuff. And I think I liked your comment earlier about how there's a new push towards. I'm seeing that as well. Kind of rope it back to RFOC a little bit. You were talking about the market itself that there's a push toward quicker, you know, getting things quicker into the mission deployed. Sense. It's getting your technology quicker so you can get deployed a mission quicker. Now, if we can only just get the acquisition process to go a little faster. Sorry, I had to throw that in. but that has happened a lot, and that's a lot. When you have shorter time to market, you have a shorter – that's often when they turn to the commercial world, also for open standards and to leverage the processing, signal processing devices, and to leverage FPGAs, integrated circuits, that are made by the larger commercial market volumes. If the DoD can leverage that commercial world a little bit more, they can solve their problems more quickly. I mean, would you agree with that?
I agree, and that's their goal. I mean, they've stated that goal. It's just taking that goal and making it a reality. And so it's going to be interesting to watch.
Yeah, it will be. And I'm going to rope it back again to RFSOC. Where can our listeners learn more about the current version that you have out there and all the stats on it?
So this has been a very well-received product in the marketplace. We had to basically double our beta program size just because there were so many customers who wanted to use it. And I'm very pleased to see how many aerospace defense customers are jumping on this. So this product is in production that we have today, and it's designed into a lot of different application spaces. And what's interesting is once it gets into like a customer, there's a lot of stamp and repeat on it being used. And so we're very optimistic about the success of this product. And we're defining a roadmap today to make sure that we continue to support these type of integrated, monolithic, fast, you know, gigasample per second DACs and ADCs going forward. So stay tuned. You'll see some additional news coming from Xilinx on this product in the future.
And they can go to Xilinx.com to learn more, correct?
Yes, if you go to Xilinx.com/RFSOC, it'll talk about all the RFSOC products we have on the market today.
All right, well, that brings us to the end of our little chat. David, thank you for talking to me today. I really appreciate it. And I'd also like to thank our sponsor, Pentek, the leader in providing high-performance wideband and narrowband software-defined radio, board, recorder, and system-level solutions, and also a leading innovator of RFSOC technologies. For more information about Pentek, go to www.pentek.com/go/podcast. And thank all of you for listening to today's McHale Report podcast. I look forward to seeing you on future broadcasts.